It's the Group Chat Golf Podcast. We're back in studio. Chubba Watson, officially Sonny, Matt Sebastian, and Daniel Lafferty. Fellas, how are we doing?
It's great to be back.
Who's feeling golfy?
Huh? Make sure everyone's got buttons up, too, because we didn't pre-button.
We didn't do a sound or a pre-button.
Guys, buttons are up.
I trust you guys. My button's up.
Mine was down, so that's why I wanted to say
Tried to put it on again. Yeah.
Gotta get caught with his button down, huh? Look at him go.
Speaking of button downs.
Yeah, hit us.
Oh, look at you over there, buttoned up. All the way to the top.
Yeah, you look like a...
You look like a third grade Latin king, ready for his first day of school.
Clean it up a little bit. Thank you guys for noticing.
It is a hipster look to that. The beanie over the ears.
But if you wear a shirt,
Right, the jeans above the socks.
Can we get you up on the table to show the jeans?
The jeans are also very cool. I don't know what
we should have done a flip to make them even shorter because they're kind of in between.
Oh, roll of the cuff?
Yeah, a couple of rolls.
Yeah,
I feel like the ankle jeans are in, and it's like a great flip for whoever just doesn't buy new clothes when they grow.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you guys what, I'll handle fashion on this podcast. I mean, not gonna.
New jeans, though, I'm assuming.
You got a problem with the bad boys?
Shopping. I don't see you in jeans. You got a
problem with the bad boys?
No. It's kind of, I do like one pair every 4 or 5 years.
Shirt new, too. Was that thrifting with those jeans?
Yeah,
nice.
Pick them.
Nice.
By the way,
38, 22.
Mm hmm. I don't really, when I go picking, I'm not looking.
That's my side.
But I had some stuff I did not make, so I went down there, and then I just took a little run through the rack, and my God, I felt alive again. I haven't picked in a while, dude. I forgot the feeling, how much it excites me to buy clothing that there's not a pile of them left for other people to get.
Yeah, you have
I
good
go
ones
through, I get the good ones, I leave, and nobody else can go in and get it.
Yeah, and with the big uptick, like... Thrifting in the city is just so tough because, like, vintage stores go through. I think literally Salvation Army now has their own pickers themselves to try to, like, make more money or something.
Yeah, I don't think they charge wise.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's crazy. You can't even get a designer. You know, it used to be like $4.99.
Right.
Now it's like $20.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't like the, boutique.
What kind of thrifting is that?
No. I like to find my goods right there at the store.
Yeah. Like, if the store doesn't smell like mold and cigs when you walk in, get out of there.
No, are you even at a thrift shop if it doesn't?
That brings the price down, so it's...
Yeah.
You want that, yeah.
Yeah, that nice musty smell.
Mm, right. $3.
But enough about me. guys, did you see this? Did you hear about this? The PGA Tour and the RNA, they're rolling back the golf ball a little bit. And maybe what is known as the most unanimous bad decision of all time. With the only person, if anyone doesn't know, they're trying to dumb down the ball.
Okay,
so
that's one worry.
So they call us less.
That's just crazy.
Guess who's the only person on earth, and by person I mean puppet, that liked this idea publicly? Yeah, anyone want to guess?
I think I have an idea, yeah.
Was it Rory McIlroy? Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Not one other single person on earth was like, that's a good idea, except for him.
Does anybody like him? That's what I want to know when I see this, because like, everybody on tour seemed to have a pretty strong stance. I mean, was it Justin Thomas who went on for like 3 minutes about it, like in an interview? Like, nobody likes this rule. And then you've got Rory sort of standing for PGA, making his statement. Does that just bother everybody on tour, do you think?
We were talking about that a little bit before the show started. Dan said he met somebody who liked him, and I said, I think it's the biggest red flag a person can have in 2023.
Yep.
Above the sleeping with the socks on and the pouring the milk and the cereal first, or all of those, any major red flag where it's like, that's a serial killer move, coming out and saying that you like Rory McIlroy is the biggest red flag to me on earth.
I asked a guy at the show why.
It's totally different to have like a sexual attraction. Or, you know,
but I asked a kid, he said, you know, he had Rory winning the Masters this year, and I was like, oh, well, what do you like about that guy? You know, and even he didn't know. He was like, well, he's got like the nicest swing of all time. And I'm like, well, no, I could name, like, you know, a handful of not even big players, like Adam Scott. You ever seen him swing a golf club? Like, it's going to be a lot nicer than Rory.
Seabass?
You ever watch him? Master Bastion, the way he takes it back?
Hello, right here.
No, but it's like they don't even know why they like the guy. and they like him. The very few that do like him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you can pop on like any social media and find somebody who's got a beautiful swing these days. It's like, not like that's the only coverage of somebody swinging a club.
Like what? He was good when he was 16, so now you like,
well,
you know.
Guys, he was on the Tonight Show as a baby.
Yeah, so it's
going to be good. So.
Groom.
And you can't, I mean, you can't take anything away from the guy. He's a good golfer.
No, definitely.
He's just not obviously the kind of guy that you want to root for. Right. And I do see people try to get behind him in the comments, and then people shit on him. It's like, I think it's like, well, I would say maybe 1 in 10 people right now like Rory McIlroy.
Yeah. He tries to make himself larger than he is.
Yeah.
Like, he's a guy who's won a couple majors, not a lot, a couple. There are people who have won more, and he tries to, like, elevate himself to be this larger-than-life golf figure. And it's like, dude, you're just one of the other guys that's in there. Yeah, you're not closer to Tiger Woods than you are Scottie Scheffler. You're closer to Scottie Scheffler than you are Tiger Woods. Like, just accept that. Mm-hmm. You're in the pack. Mm-hmm. Stop trying to act like you're up there with the Hogans and the Arnie Palmies and the Jack Nicklauses of the world. You're just simply not.
And just shut up for a week and stop being the PGA spokesman. Yeah, you know, like, just play your role as play your role as your pro golfer that you are, and stay in your lane and focus on that. And stop focusing on talking shit about Liv and being the spokesman for everything PGA. Just. Yeah.
And I've seen, like, some pretty good arguments against it. What is the main, like, what was his when he came out and said, oh, I think it's going to be good? Did he have any reasoning for that? Like, what was...
Oh, for the ball? Yeah, because he's a long hitter himself. So it's like, why would you be for a...
He's the PGA's mascot right now. Somebody made a meme about this, I think, this week. I can't remember who it was, but that's the best way to put it. He is the PGA spokesperson right now, like you said. He also said he would play that ball, potentially, even if they didn't do it. So even if it wasn't mandatory in PGA Tour events and only for the majors or by the USGA and whatever, and the RNA, he would still play that ball all year.
Because he's just got that much integrity.
Ready for the majors. He said those words. There's no way he plays that ball all year.
There's no way. Especially after, I mean, this week at the Dell Play match play. Is that how you say it? Hits that fucking ball 375 yards onto the green. And, I mean, you think that there's that feeling leaving that tee box? Is you think he was like, you're right, this does suck. We need to definitely get this out of the game.
You want a 9-iron in there?
Yeah. I think his reasoning was like, he won't, you know, it's
people
just a little bit. Right, it's a little more technical. You know, you're playing a truer game when it's not just like driver wedge or whatever.
Yeah, that's crazy to me too, because it's like, well, then there's been a lot of advancements in golf since the original. Why don't we just go back to like when they were stuffing balls with feathers? Feather ball, right? Yeah, and like playing wooden golf clubs. I mean, this is ridiculous. Also, like, do we go to just one standard set of clubs? Like, no more, you know, you can't have a different driver. You can't have, no, we need you all playing the same club, same ball. You know what? Why don't we just go to, what are we, a bunch of commies?
And their argument is that they, you know, it's courses keep having to go longer. And I saw somebody on Twitter, which I agree with, just make the course, you don't have to make the courses longer, just make them harder.
Yeah.
Make the fairways tighter.
Everyone complains.
Exactly.
Yes.
But, I mean, that's great golf. Yeah. Make the fairways tighter, make the rough longer, and, you know, it kind of weeds itself out.
Imagine if the USGA rolls back the ball and then still sets up the US Open like they do.
Oh, I hope they do.
I mean, those guys would be livid. They'd be shooting 10 over. What is, the winning score would be over par, 100%.
And who says that you can't just lower the number for a professional golf, like the average being now you shoot a, you know, 65 normally or whatever. Like, what does that take away? It's just a number. They're pros. Like, you'll just be moving the goalpost a little bit so that the average score is lower. I don't understand why that's an issue. You're still watching golf. You're still watching them play. I don't see what you would gain by just having the number be the same that it has been in the past.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And why is it the focus on the ball is a little confusing to me, because I feel like more has been done with equipment.
Yeah, they keep jacking up clubs.
The drivers are getting 30 yards longer every year, seemingly, with the same Pro V1 or the same top of the line ball that's been out for since I was in high. You know, we're talking over a decade. The ball's been, maybe it's gone a couple yards further, but the ball's been, that technology's been there for 10 plus years.
Shorten the driver 2 inches. Shorten the driver length by 2 inches.
Yeah, make the biggest head 300 cc's instead of 360. I don't know.
That would be so good if they just start throwing out just all sorts of equipment and rules.
Get rid of putters. Make them use driver on the green.
Yeah. You know, and no LPGA. Put them all together.
Yeah.
Make them all play together.
All right, I guess that's probably time to move on.
I do like the idea. Do it one tournament a year, though. Don't change the whole game back to 1958.
Yeah, like we said earlier, or just make one tournament a year. Like, why can't we watch these guys play with persimmon woods and old school clubs?
Oh, yeah, I like
do
that.
Do it one time a year.
Yeah. The U.S. Open.
How fun is that? If one of the majors was old school, old school clubs.
Yeah. Are you going to play with blazers on and the old, you know, everyone's got to wear knickers and feathered ball?
Who wouldn't watch that?
Yeah.
And why is it not a thing? I know it's a thing on like a smaller scale with like amateurs, but why isn't that an actual thing?
Yeah.
They're trying to make it a thing, but just with the ball. It's like a tackle more of the, just, you know, bring it back 60 years for one week a year. People would love it.
And I guess my other thing is, has anybody played with one of these new balls? You're just implementing something before it's even really been.
I don't even know if they've made it yet.
Like,
it's not very hard, but.
And have they implemented, so when's the plan on the rule change? Do they have a time, or did they just float the idea?
No, they're basically like testing feedback. I don't think they we're definitely doing this. They were just like, hey, we're thinking about it. What do you guys think? And then everyone was like, hey, that's the worst idea that anybody on earth has ever come up with.
Yeah, that.
And then they were like, hey, Roars, everyone's telling us that we're dumb. Can you go out there and say it's cool?
Yeah.
You'll be done in a few years anyway. Right. What's next? Putting gravel in the sand pits? Like, I don't understand why you can't just have people be improved and the equipment improves, so you just lower the score. That's my take on it.
Or just make golfers worse.
You know, oh, yeah.
Let's stop getting better. No more practicing. No more working out.
Why did I think of that?
Yeah.
Got to carry their own bags.
I wouldn't be able to golf anymore.
Yeah. Or they, like, make them get drunk. Make them be really drunk when they play.
Yeah, make it fun.
Yeah. Or have, like, a nice fentanyl classic. Everybody's out there just nodding off between shots.
Right. You got to be careful with that because you die quick. Live Golf Tucson. Who won that one?
Danny Lee, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
Who I wasn't even sure was on LIV. Is he new this year? Was he there?
First win since 2015 in his career.
Wow. Dude, I love that. And also, what Pat Perez is shooting the lights at, it seems. Like, it seems every time I watch, it's just a highlight of him sticking the green 2 feet away from the friggin' pin. Like, I love this.
Yeah, good for Danny Lee. Do you guys think it's what has happened so far in LIV this year is good for LIV, though?
It's not great.
No. I'm afraid for how those guys are going to do at the Masters, losing to Danny Lee, who hasn't won since 2015. I want to see the LIV guys do well at
Augusta.
It's going to
be a big Masters for LIV.
Yeah.
Because between wearing, seeing what they wear, seeing how much coverage LIV, seeing how much they talk about it, are the guys in the booth going to take the time to talk about LIV?
Right. Sure.
Or are they not?
They could be jerks. So. But it's also like this has been such a talked about event for so long. Like, you know, obviously we're big fans of, let's get like a final pairing with some of the biggest stars. The big stars, I mean, for LIV are not showing up right now at all. It's not looking, it's like,
almost,
they're not playing,
it's been almost
very
tough
good golf.
To like watch a little bit. And I hate to say that because I do enjoy the product.
Yep.
But even just like watching Phil Mickelson for one more year, just not compete.
I mean, that's kind of an unfair. He's about 1,000 years old. Have you seen the pictures of him?
He doesn't look great.
Yeah, there might be some underlying illness there.
I thought the same thing when I saw
him. We give everyone a fair shake, and like, we get, you know, PGA Tour has had some of their designateds like not be, you know, have some guys that, it's just, you want your star power to win these events.
Yeah.
You know, and
star,
like,
power's not there.
And are these guys maybe the play's taking a hit because of all this guaranteed money? How well these guys did last year that they're like, you know, I don't have to go out there and grind every weekend that I'm not in a tournament because no matter what.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah. Okay.
You also have to think.
But it is a thought.
It's the theory.
You have to also understand that we're not seeing them stack up with guys on the PGA Tour yet, which is why the Masters is going to be so big. Because who knows? Danny Lee, if he played in whatever last week, maybe he would have been top five or won, you know, and not being able to see that is tough, which is why, I mean, it's just the Masters have never been bigger.
But it's like Danny Lee's playing, you know, played a great weekend of golf, but like Bryson being, I think, bottom 10 every event this year. Like, that, he's not playing very good golf. Like, whether Danny Lee's going to beat whoever won in the PGA Tour, maybe, maybe not, but like the stars in Liv are not showing out.
Brooks, yeah. Dustin,
right.
Cam.
Those names, that's what you, who you want at the top of your leaderboard if you're Liv and you're just not getting it this
year. Well, in fairness, I think that spotlight being on teams and high profile, excuse me, players is sort of a Liv grown thing. Whereas if, I mean, you've got plenty of tournaments where some of these guys in PGA and PGA tournaments are like, who is this guy? Who is this guy? So I think there might be a little more parity in the fact that the spotlight's so bright on some of these guys. And also, because it's a team sport, because you are having it be more like a season, you know, there might be some stuff going on here where guys are trying, working on things on their game to come in hot later down the stretch. I think there's just a little more, there could be, you know, a little bit of a, not format, but a different approach that some of these guys are taking coming up to it. Because I think also, like, minus, you know, subtracting a whole round where you're getting, so, you know, yeah, guys are going to be, you know, 5 under as opposed to 12 under because they're not playing a whole nother round of golf. I think, I know obviously there's more opportunity to do poorly, but once you're heating up and you're playing well, like you've seen Scheffler, or even,
Rahm.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, when you got that extra round, when you're going, you know, you're coming into the final day at 5, 6 under and it's like boom, 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 you're birdieing. You've got that other round to get more gains so your game looks better. I don't know. I think there's going to be I'm there's a part of me, and maybe it's just because I'm, you know, such a fan of the drama, but there's a part of me that hopes, not sandbagging, but there's a little preparation going into playing the Masters. Maybe a little like, oh yeah, you think we don't look good? Wait till we come and play you guys rather than our league where we think we're better and see how we stack.
So you think they're just purposely playing bad?
I don't think they're purposely playing bad, but I think that they're
the Masters.
I think also the CW coverage, if I'm being honest, does not do them any favors. I think,
but how does that make Bryson get last? Like, how does that put Bryson last place out of 48 golfers only?
Well, Bryson lost. Some people have bad, you know, like, I mean, I think there's been years, if you go back before Liv, where big name players have bad starts to seasons or bad stretches of golf. I don't think, yeah, that's what I mean about spotlight. It's like, what, the season's only been on, what, we're in the third event? Yeah. So it's like, if we were doing it in the same light as the, you know, professional golf leagues in the past, there's stretches where guys don't make the top 20 for, you know, 9 different events and then come in and win a major.
Yeah.
I think it's slightly different when there's like an open field, a cut, and you're talking about just 48 guys who, 48 guys with like 10 of them that are good.
But that's exactly what I'm saying, is that the spotlight's on them a little more. I mean, all these big name players minus what, Cam Smith, Patrick Reed's not that much older, but a lot of these guys are, I've been around the block, so I, you know, they got star power in the name, but I think the big thing is putting those guys on teams and having these younger guys like my boy Piot, who's the new guy on the on the Range Goats that just got added 2 weeks ago?
It's your team, dude.
I know. I'm trying to remember his name.
Unbelievable.
I'll have to come back to
him. I'll say a couple of things that I think. Number one, the fact that we aren't there this year, I think definitely brings, like, when you're in it and you're there, it seems really exciting. There's a lot going on and it's awesome. And then you're not, and it's like, you almost don't even see it. And the fact that the PGA Tour isn't talking about it this year, I think they finally figured out they're not fueling a fire anymore. Yeah. And that's brought the fire down a lot for Liv. So the fact that nobody's really, like, the less the PGA Tour players are talking about it, the more it kind of just fades into the shadows. So I think, I don't know if they realize that maybe we should stop talking about this, or if it's just happened naturally over time. I think it's been huge, detrimental to Liv that the PGA Tour players stopped talking about it.
Yeah,
their interviews and every story. Like, when I get my golf news now in my email, it's not Liv this, Liv that, Liv this. It's PGA Tour again. Which for the last year, up to a couple months ago, it was your first story on the, you know, golf's Google emails every day that I get at 7 o'clock were Liv, Liv, Liv. PGA Tour says this about Liv. This player's saying this, and now it's just like no one's really talking about it. And the fact that it's not getting that bad press, it's getting no press.
Yeah. And I think, too, like, getting the teams finalized, like, it kind of goes back to the Monday Night Wars in the Attitude Era of wrestling, where when you get people jumping over, that's a big – it's big news when a Dustin Johnson jumps ship. Yeah. And you're not – you don't – right. And you're not – yeah, you're not really getting that anymore. So it's definitely going to be less of a news cycle there. Mm-hmm. But I just think over – like, they need – They need their stars to start playing.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I also, though, it's like, to your point on the media coverage, yeah, don't you think they would hype up the mat? Like, I've seen the, I know it's college basketball right now, so that's tough, too, to, like, compete. And I hear, but I've heard, like, Jim Nantz, you know, say his bit he loves to do is the Masters are coming, you know, sort of during his broadcast. But you'd think that there would be more of a sort of showdown headline. And now that you say it, it does seem probably like a, you know, a pointed approach of not doing that.
Yeah.
Because in theory, to me, this is probably the biggest Masters
I've
watched. Other than, I mean, I guess when Tiger won that one a while ago, but even that one, you weren't expecting him to win. So I feel like the hype wasn't as crazy until you were into day two, day three.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, this arguably is, yeah, the biggest Masters to me to watch in a very long time.
Yeah, a factor we've never seen before.
Yeah.
But, like, it's also one of those things getting a little nervous. Like, what if this is a dud?
I know. How
exciting. What if there's just, like, a no-name guy, like, running away with it on Sunday and
yeah.
you don't get those fireworks? Like, that's going to be a massive letdown.
My expectations aren't very high, but the fact that there's a possibility that the top five has, or the top ten has four LIV guys in it.
Yeah.
That would be massive. And I don't know what that would do for LIV exactly, but it would just, I mean, it would look great. I don't know if people would bring the swap and be like, oh no. But I think it would definitely add fuel to the fire, which they need desperately.
I think it's up to them to pair, I mean, those pairings. I don't know who makes them. But
they could do so well with those pairings, and they're going to fuck it up.
They're going to do it on purpose. Yes. They're not going
to. Can we do worst case scenarios? Okay, I'll go first. For me, it would be a, like, just a no drama Sunday where, like, some no, even if it's a no name LIV guy or a no name PGA Tour guy is in the final group and has like a 6-stroke lead, and or there is like some big names in the final groups, but they're being gentlemen about it, like shaking hands and being like, good job, I really respect you, and there's no hard feelings at all. We're all buddy buddy here, and I love you.
If that happens,
I'll be just devastated. Yeah.
There better be some shushing on the course, like Ryder Cup style intensity. Well,
if you want to fight. Don't shake hands and hug and
be worst like, case scenario, Patrick Reed, DJ, Cam Smith miss the cut. At the Masters.
Yeah.
Not a good
cut misses was kind of where I was going with that. And that has nothing to do with the fact that I have futures on every one of those guys. but agreed. It's when if the cut comes and it's like, oh, we're already down to just two LIV players left. And then with the end, it's just like John Rahm or Scottie Scheffler just come up and win it. And it's not even close. And it's like, okay, well, plays right into the... I like those guys. It's nothing against those guys. But, like, Scheffler, right? He's in the top 10, it seems, every week in those tournaments. Rahm, when he's not pooping his pants or whatever, seems to be doing really well. Like, so it's like, if it's just that... If it really is the same... If it's really the same headline, like, oh, and these two are coming up and they win and Liv's not even in, it's like, all right, well, Liv's dead.
I would argue that it's a make or break for Liv.
Agreed.
This Masters. Yeah. It could either
give them some credibility,
or it could just be like, okay, Liv's done. Because these guys can't compete.
Even if that no name wins for Liv, that's huge. Because it might be a nightmare scenario for Chubba, but I love that for Liv. And the other thing that I think is killing Liv right now, maybe it's just me, but I just tried to look right now on DraftKings to see if I could put even a dollar down on a Liv event. Can't do it. And
you can't bet LIV events.
And I can bet. So they're both on at the same time. And I'm like, well, am I going to tune into the PGA coverage and see if my, $5 parlay hits on Scottie Scheffler? Or am I going to just watch LIV to listen to Faraday and watch some of the guys I like?
Yeah.
You know, which
someone
is.
Someone needs to
I wonder if you
that.
Could go on to like one of those international, the way you used to have to online like gamble, like Bovada. Yeah.
I feel like those, natural bookie sites have just less lines in general.
Agreed. No, we
draft
one.
Plus,
I don't know if you can cash out on Bovada. Actually, now with Bitcoin, I think it's a little easier. But back in the day, Bovada was like, you just put your money in and lose it.
Yeah, you have to filter it to Al-Qaeda before you can get it.
Yeah, my little $200 straight to China.
Wherever it goes.
I mean, I guess, you're not going to be able to get as good of odds with 48 guys in a field versus 160.
I'd still like
to look at it. Yeah, exactly. Even if the favorite's minus 200 before the tournament starts versus plus 900. It's like,
and you got teams now too, so it's like betting on a team is fun. You should be able to bet on a team.
Is betting allowed in Saudi Arabia?
Oh,
it looks like the issue was because there wasn't a governing body. overlooking Liv. But until, I think they changed that, so it should start.
Okay,
better.
To happen. FanDuel, I guess.
Oh, that'll help.
As of Wednesday afternoon, I don't know what Wednesday that is, but it's on the internet, so it's true. FanDuel was only approved in 3 states for live golf betting.
Oh, nice.
So it's
more than zero.
Yeah.
It's happening slowly. Yeah.
Side note, did you see that they're trying to do like betting on WWE? I don't know if they already do it.
That's crazy.
It's nuts.
And they've done that. They've done that,
and it's a script that is already
released.
Are they
doing like just winning and losing?
I don't know. I was reading an article about how they're trying to bring it to the sports betting apps and things like that. I'm like, if there is one guy that I think would have a phone right on his desk, like, hey, Vegas calls, and they're like, hey, we need this. We can't have Triple H winning or whoever it is tonight. They'll change that right on the fly. Vince, I don't believe, is above that.
I think you could make a lot of money knowing.
Yeah.
They're like, no, it doesn't leave the room. It's like, like, if I know what color the Gatorade's going to be for the Super Bowl, I'm telling everyone I know.
Right.
Doesn't leave the room for under X amount of dollars. National Anthem, for instance. If you know the person singing the National Anthem in the Super Bowl,
right?
Do they not tell you how long it's going to be, and do you not put every dollar you have on that every single time that happens?
I think it's hard unless you had, like, a timer on your watch, which would be incredible to, like, really nail it, because it's by the second, right?
Yeah, but I mean, if you're singing it, I'm sure you know exactly how long it takes.
Yeah, because
you have a cadence.
Like, you could just practice it and rehearse it and get it down to know.
You could drag out just the word "brave" for 30 seconds if you needed to.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
like, hit the over. Just tell them over and then hold "brave" for an hour.
Yeah. Did someone bet themselves on that? Are you allowed to do that?
Well,
probably. I mean, through your friends.
That's the plan. There you go. Yeah.
It's like a wide receiver, like any athlete. Like, oh, they have me getting 5 catches today. Like, I know the game plan. We're running the ball all day today. Take the under. Like, that information's got to be so. Like, all these teams, even if it's not, it's pro sport, it isn't scripted like wrestling. But yeah, there's a game plan heading into. There's a game plan heading into every game. Maybe it is. You know.
Yeah, speaking of athletes, though, you guys ready to fill up those holes?
No.
Yeah, let's fill them
all up. 3 of them, baby.
We can't take turns filling in.
We have 3 holes of golf trivia. We forgot our marker board, so we're just going to do it verbally. And we don't have a producer, so we won't have an 18-second countdown. I'll just pretend that there is a timer
going. Yeah, we'll all look at the TV like there's something.
Tell you guys when it's stopped.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, the first hole that we're going to fill today is a par 3, and we're going to continue our trip down Magnolia Lane as we prepare for the Masters coming up in the first weekend of April. This one's called did you guys just see him look right at the – don't fucking look at the questions and the answers.
I can't even lean back in my chair. I think
this one's called a trip down Magnolia – guys, can I read the question, please? This one's called a trip down Magnolia Lane. Tiger Woods is – 1997 Masters victory featured the largest winning margin in tournament history. Okay. How many strokes did he win by? 1997, 18 seconds begins now.
Who was it?
It was Tiger Woods.
Oh, okay.
I want to say.
Is the largest margin.
Well, I can't write it down anywhere. Are we just going to raise our hand already?
I think I'm going to go around the room.
Who's, if you're ready, 18 seconds.
I'm going to say 7 shots.
7 shots for Sonny.
I'm saying 9.
9 for Matt Sebastian.
Yep. 10 shots, final score, 19 under.
Wow. Wow.
Is it total?
Total was, it was a winning margin of 12 strokes.
Oh, 12 strokes. Tiger!
He's good, that guy.
I've heard about that. I wasn't sure.
That was his first one, and then he never won by more than that again at the Masters.
Can we talk about how his sponsorship on El Tigre? Why didn't they jump on him? You know, right, the clothing company?
This one's a par 4. Nobody got any points.
Tigre?
Again,
it's kind of like
you guys know nothing about golf on this golf podcast.
Doesn't go to the closest. Answer,
it does not.
Did I get the final score right?
No, you didn't.
Okay.
This is a par 4, 369 yards.
Into the wind?
Downwind.
Mm.
Wind's behind.
Are the balls back? You know what that is?
The balls are dumped down.
Oh, okay. We are playing with my normal noodle.
Right. Okay, this one's called 369. Damn she fine. Get low. Get low. Can you let me read the questions, please?
Just
for crying out loud.
Just singing with you, dude.
Who carded the This one's called 369. Damn she fine. Get low. Get low. Who carded the lowest round in PGA Tour history, and what was the score? 18 seconds starts now.
Jim Furyk, 58.
Any other guesses?
Jim Furyk.
And what was the number?
57.
It was obviously James Furyk, and it was 56.
You guys kind of see how saying it verbally doesn't work. It was Jim Furyk, 58.
Thank you.
I'm so happy that somebody got that.
I knew it
got
was
one ever.
I would have had no clue on the number. I just guessed 57. I knew it was. I knew it was one less than 59.
Knew it was Furyk. Right.
58.
Wow.
Okay, this is a par 5, and I can't tell you the length, and you'll see why in a minute, okay? This one's called... Can I read the goddamn quizzes? My segment! This one is a par 5, and I can't tell you the length, because you'll see why in a minute. This one's called Boy, That's Long, an International Multicultural Multi-Choice. Okay?
Ooh.
So, the world's longest golf hole is the 7th hole of the Sanyu course at Satsuki Golf Club in Japan. How long is it? How long is it? And I will now... 18 seconds begins once I give you the multiple choice. Yes.
Is it the longest hole on tour, or is it the longest hole in the world?
In the world. That's... Okay. Maybe didn't mention in the question. It's the longest hole in the world. Yes.
Okay.
Here's the first... option. Option A, 1,234 feet. Option B, 872 meters. Option C, 964 yards. Option D, 8,998 cubic centimeters. 18 seconds starts now. Okay.
I don't remember any of the
option
numbers.
Option A,
1,234
feet. 872 meters, 964 yards, 8,998 cubic centimeters. What do you got?
I'm going to go with B.
B, 872 meters. Matt Sebastian?
I'm going C.
C, what was that one?
I don't know.
964 yards.
I feel like, can you stop touching my ears, please, when I'm trying to answer? I don't need, like, hey, this is your cue. I'm going to scratch your earlobe. You answer now. But thank you for
you're
that.
Lucky those
I'm going to guess. I'm going to go with the wrong answer of 800 whatever meters it was, because I think that's going to be somehow longer than 960
it is,
yards.
Yeah. That is like incorrect. It. Yeah, it's C, 960
yards. God, I know so much more about golf than you guys.
Quit. 3 feet 3 inches.
Yeah, it's meters or French yards.
Maybe 3.3
feet. It's longer than a yard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Slightly
longer French yards. So really good. We have a tie at the top.
Is that a par 5? Par 6?
That was a par 5.
So
the longest hole.
In real life, because there is a par 6 in like North Carolina.
I've played. There's one in New Hampshire. I played it.
Oh, really?
You've played it.
We have. Yeah. I think I made a par there or something. Terrible par.
I birdied.
Net,
and that's filling up all three holes with your boys.
Speaking no points this week. Anytime I do well, no points.
I'm going to start trying to, and this, it could be something someone sends to us. It could be something I see on the internet. It could be a PGA Tour, but I want to start doing some kind of shot of the week. I want to highlight a shot.
New segment.
It's a new segment.
Ooh, I like
so
it.
The way that I'm going to have to do it is I'm going to have to play the video here while I talk about it. Because when I do post it, I'm going to want to show the video with what we're saying. But so I was scrolling TikTok, and I was so inspired by this shot. And only Seabass is going to be able to watch it now.
You,
and
there
is,
show the camera?
You want me to just tell him?
No, well, I'm going to show. Yeah, I guess I can show the camera. So this guy, he hits. Should I show the camera right there?
Yeah, show the camera.
So this guy, he hits three bad shots in a row. He says when you're it, the caption at the beginning
you guys
can
tell is he's in front of it.
When you've been knocking them hard left all night and you finally send one dead straight into the orbit. So he hits three bad shots off to the left. He's got a really good song playing, and I'll play it here on the post. And then he just rips a ball. 352 yards, 364 total, 201 ball speed. This guy goes from hitting absolute shanks to the left to just bombing one right down the middle. Look at this.
I mean, he's a beast. The guy looks like he's ripping. He looks like he rips the door handle off.
We're going to sponsor this guy for the long drive tour. I mean, he's got the look. He's got long dreads. Just a big dude. Another video of him on TikTok was him taking an engine out of a car with a spare hand.
Yeah, I knew it. He's a beast.
Multi-talented.
Multi-talented. So I watched his video. A tear came down my eye when I watched it. I was so inspired because I was like, oh, how... You know, after seeing the first three shots, like, how good is this next one going to be? I mean, I don't even know how I was the same person.
Just the one tier?
Just one. Oh, like Bruce Willis, one tier. Or is that Milk It? Or who was that?
You
Bruce
mean the
Willis,
native when they littered?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you wipe it or just let it dry?
I just let it go all the way down until it dried. Nice. Okay. And so I'm going to shout him out. It's Vong211 on TikTok. V-O-N-G-211.
Shout out.
He's our new favorite. He's the shot of the week. So shout out. Congratulations to him. We'll be posting it on the page so you can all see it. Because I hope you're all inspired as I am.
Yeah.
And I did. I don't know if you saw it, but you will.
Oh, yeah.
I want to save it for you.
I thought it was Bryson at first. And then, the body type is a bit of a giveaway. But
yeah, most of that guy's a unit. He does look like he looks like he juggles engines.
Yeah. And I did send the video to Bobby Long Drives and Long Drivers. And he said the ball speed was about 170.
So a little too low for his standards.
Well, it said 201. He said those things are jacked up. You know, it might have not been. Was your button down?
No, I
don't know why I just looked at my power button.
I keep my finger on the button the whole time in the up position.
You don't
feel
risky?
No. What if you gotta keep it up?
What if
you gotta keep it up
in case gravity gets you?
Yeah. Yeah. Just let it go down halfway through the show.
I was repositioning my hand and I thought I kind of slid the power off on the mic, so sorry for the scare.
That's all right.
We'll let it slide.
Yeah.
But I saw it and I was like, Danny button down. Danny buttons down.
Hopefully someone else is
Chubba button ups. Danny buttons down.
Speaking of button downs, though, one of you guys has a segment transition coming up here, right?
Yeah.
I'm just ready for the word. But it will. But I guess I was thinking about it the other day, and I'm getting really hyped for being able to play golf up here. It's been pretty dreary. Thought we were going to do today, and I'm thinking about what I'm going to add as an accessory. It's normally pretty easy. I mean, I get gloves right at the shop, always too, duh. But I'm thinking now, like, and I guess my question is for you, if you're starting a season every year, thinking about what you add to your apparel collection, are you more inclined to get, or would you rather a new pair of golf shoes at the beginning of the year? Or would you rather, like, something in the bag, like, let's say, or how about a new bag? And if there's something, like, so if you're going to start your new year, what are you more inclined to go for? Like, a new pair of golf shoes? Maybe a golf bag wasn't the right best example, but, like, we just get, at this point, I get so many hats. I'm a big hat guy, so, like, using a hat as an example doesn't really work because I get them throughout every moment, you know, of every month.
Right. So I guess my question is, like, what's the question?
Would you prefer shoes?
What are you confused?
Or a bag?
I just said a bag. Well, and then I walked it back when I saw how confused you were.
You're
going
to walk it back forward?
Yeah. We can go bag, I guess. I looked like a moment of panic on your face.
I could buy golf shoes every day. I don't really change my bag that often, which I am. I do have my eyes on a bag right now. But I just I'd still buy shoes first. Omada makes this really sick white leather bag that I really want, and a good rangefinder too. So we're gonna get hooked up with them, I think, somehow. Start working with those guys. But yeah, I would pick shoes 100 times out of 100 over a bag, because you know the bag's just there.
The thing about the shoes for me,
the shoes are holding me up.
The shoes are better, but you gotta buy like more of them because a pair of shoes might go with one, two outfits. Your bag is like, hey, I'm making this commitment to this is going to be my bag for maybe not just a year, or usually like, I don't know.
Could be 2 years.
Could be three years. Yeah.
Could be four years.
It depends how long the legs hold up from swinging at them, right. After frustration. But I don't know. I guess I'd have to take bag there just because it's not a common switch up. Like shoes, I do get excited about it, but I've done it every year for my whole golf career, and it's usually just like one pair, and then it's like, oh.
So do you?
I have two outfits I can wear because these don't go with it.
That's why I buy white shoes only. Every time I get a non-white pair of shoes, I'm like, why did I buy these?
But the white just gets so dirty for me.
If you clean them after every round, or at least wipe them a little, they stay okay. And you have a towel in your bag, you just lick it.
like it hit the shoe a little.
And don't you also just slam them as hard as you can when you get out to the parking lot. Yeah,
please don't.
Yeah, I think for me this one's going to be which I'm going to get whatever one I need more, you know?
Good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for that.
So what's it going to be this year then for you? Thinking bag or shoes?
Well, yeah. It's tough because, you know, Adidas just gave me new golf shoes. And then I traded up Gold Yeller's old golf bag for my old one.
The best thing about the Adidas shoes for me was I'm a true 12 and a half. And no one ever has a 12 and a half. But when I told Adidas I'm a 12 and a half, and then I even wrote in there, or 13 if you don't have it, they gave me the 12 and a half. So I don't have any 12 and a half. So that's my only pair.
Adidas sizing has always been like, I used to have like extremely wide feet compared to the length when I was growing up, and they were growing into it. Yeah, they were very wide. But yeah, they were squares. Like, and so like Adidas sizing is really good. And I guess, so that would lead me to ask then, like, are you guys a new golf shoe every year? It sounded like you kind of are.
Multiple.
Yeah.
Multiple. I would say two pairs a year.
At the beginning of the year, it's one pair, and that's like an hour and a half decision at the golf shop of like, do I go with these or do I go with me?
Hour and a half?
Yeah, it can be tough where I'm just like, well, you know, I got to make sure I have the right size because you're doing so much walking in them. You can't just like return them after one round. So I got to like do this like, hey, I'm trying on these golf shoes. Do you mind if I hop into the sim there and hit a few shots with them? You know, walk around a little bit. Like, I can't just put them on and do like the, oh, yeah, that's where my foot's at in the toe. I'm good. You know,
like,
I
get to hold your purse while you're looking.
I mean,
an hour and a half
bag is like, oh, I see the whole lineup and it's like, yep, that's the best one. How much you want? You know, like shoes, it's, you know.
Shoes are even something that, like, if I have a nice round coming up, like if you're going on a golf trip or if you have, you know, you're playing this course that you've never played, somebody invited you to a tournament. Before those, the night before, I'm at Golf Galaxy. Like,
do I like any of these shoes? That's a $100 switch up that can totally change your hole.
You might shoot under par the next day. If you have a clean pair of white shoes, try missing a putt on the first day you have them. It's almost impossible. I mean, when I'm playing with new shoes, when I look down, I think nothing about the golf swing, and I'm just like, damn, I must look good from, like, if someone's looking at me swinging right now.
That is a good confidence boost.
It is. White shoes. It's clean white shoes is one of the best confidence
boosts. Oh, I agree.
On the golf course.
And the big white sneaker, I feel like I'm walking on eggshells a little bit because if they get dirty. Right.
Yeah, I get that.
You can't worry about that.
You just can't go
white. Yeah, like the cuts of your pants.
Just fix my brain is what you're saying.
All
right, I'll try. Well, Adidas Golf gave me a pair of white shoes.
And those are
so
good ones to keep clean too because those don't have any, they're like a flat white. There's not much cloth on them even. So they're like really easy to just wipe those down. Mine stayed. But they look brand new, top and bottom.
I've been staring down the Teva or whatever company makes the FootJoy. I think makes the golf sandal. I've been staring those down for about a decade. This might be the year I finally pull the trigger on
the
those.
The Velcro ones?
Yeah.
You're all talk. You won't buy them.
I am.
Yeah. Such a letdown.
All right, so everybody's a golf shoe guy. Yeah, that was a tough one. I couldn't think of something else that you could buy. I guess my real question was like, am I buying a new pair of golf shoes this year? I'm not too picky on them because I trash them pretty hard. I'm in the water a lot. Yeah. I'm out of bounds a lot. So it's like I could get a new pair.
I feel like you have those white FootJoys with the browns.
No, I don't have those. No, I got a nice pair of Nikes. I've had two pairs of Nikes. I lost one on the trip to Miami, which I think someone just took out of my bag. But not like it was on the outside, so maybe when it was going through security, they put them out of the pocket, and I didn't go to like back to get them.
Did they search your golf bag last time we went away? Because I got home and I just found the thing because I just took my clubs out of the travel bag.
Yeah,
just found the thing from TSA. Like, hey, we ransack this shit.
Yeah, they just leave a little note that's like, hey, without your consent we violated you. Just telling you now,
like, my weed was in my other bag, not in my golf bag. I'm not dumb.
And they see a golf bag and they ain't looking for weed, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they were probably, dude, you know what they were doing? They were probably going in and being like, there were more than three balls in here. As per our policy, you can only take three.
Yeah. Or are these the new balls that
that's
the
their policy?
Dude, when we look, what was it, JetBlue?
Yeah.
They were like, you can have a golf bag, and what's in your golf bag, you can travel with one pair of shoes, 14 clubs and 3 golf balls.
Okay.
Six, really? Six, but you can have 9 lighters. Yeah.
So somebody hollowed out a golf ball and just had kilos of cocaine in their bag.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
The ratio on that might
going
be
on a golf trip, you're bringing 3 balls is a little rugged. But.
Well, that's, I'm saying, there's... It's not a weight thing. Someone's tampered with the ball. That's why they're afraid of it. We'll let them get, you know, an 8-ball down there, but nothing more, you know. I don't know.
Speaking of nothing more, you got a peeve of the week for us?
I do.
Actually, you know,
give us a peeve, then lock us right in.
That has nothing to do with golf, but you know what? It really ticked me off. I felt really awkward about it. I was walking through Walmart this morning. And I had a weird order. I was getting some cleaning supplies. I got some
weird order. You know?
I was getting some. I had like coffee and coffee filler. It was like a bunch of just the random shit. Yeah, like I don't need to go to a grocery store. Let me just go to like Walmart.
No better place for that stuff.
They'll have like all of this shit. And the amount of people that were looking not at me like as I was shopping, but other shoppers like staring into your carriage, like judging like my order of what
check.
Like get your eyes off of my cart. Like
right. I'm up here.
Yeah. Like what percentage of milk are you feeding your family? Like get your fucking eyes out of my carriage.
Yeah. What percentage is that?
I don't know, but I wish, you know, some of the people would know. You're asking the
he doesn't even check what kind.
Oh, you're asking my opinion. Yeah, I'm a 2% guy. Yeah,
2%.
He's got strong though.
I thought you were asking like what percentage of shoppers are staring at my cart, but it was like why do you gotta like? You're just gonna like jack my cart if you see everything in there that you like.
Well, they might get some inspiration, see what's in the store. There might be some sales they don't know about or some new items.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on this one, dude. And it sometimes happens at the grocery store, especially if you run into somebody.
Ooh,
you
yeah,
know.
Grocery store.
And it's like, hey, don't peep.
Don't look down there.
Don't look.
While you're talking to me.
You know?
Yeah, like, don't look
at my cart. What do you count? Count beers? We count beers now?
Yeah, mine isn't the beers that I get worried about. It's like, yeah, I did need 6 steaks and all of the TGA Friday frozen things out of the
just doing chips and pizza this week, are you? Huh?
Yeah, wine and hemorrhoid cream.
Yeah, they should have little covers, dude. They should be enclosed.
I actually have this anxiety thing about having a carriage. If I can possibly fit everything in my hands, I'm not grabbing anything.
What's like, the anxiety about
I don't like walking around with a carriage.
Can we go back to calling
them? Yeah,
since we're not in Britain, we call them
all born
like Americans.
In carts? Did you know? Did you
I
know?
I guess I grew up calling it a carriage.
Did you?
Yeah, I think you, so. What,
shopping cart.
Of London, you did that?
Well, so you're only
just outside of Liverpool, we used to call them carriages.
Hey, we call water fountains bubblers, too. So
right. Maybe, what the fuck is going on in Rhode Island?
But anyway, carts. You know, if I don't have to take a cart... Well, like I went to Hobby Lobby yesterday and I grabbed so much stuff that I walked up to the counter.
Is it
like
because
this.
Of peepers?
You not even for peepers, peepers, just because it's like, I don't know, walking around with that cart, it just feels, I don't know, I don't know what it is.
What? You feel what?
Anxiety. Huh. Like people are looking at me more if I have a cart than if I don't.
And they're peeping at
me. Like what if I only have, what if I go around with that cart and I only leave with one thing or God forbid zero? What if I walk around Walmart to grab stuff and I don't get anything and I have this empty cart?
Yeah, now you look broke.
I would say probably nobody would notice and you'd
probably
walk
not,
out.
But I think everyone would be like, why is that guy walking around empty? Oh, he's just going to throw that. He didn't get anything. But he grabbed a cart for that one thing.
I'm a basket guy.
Well, I think you got to know the size of your order before you go in.
Yeah, and I actually wanted to grab a basket.
Yeah, but there's so few of them these days. I don't know if that's a leftover Walmart.
I inquired about this today because it was a basket size order. They don't supply them. They don't even let you get a basket at Walmart anymore.
Really? Because they want you to buy big.
Newsflash. They want you to buy. That's what I said to the guy. Wow, they must want me to spend. And I said, you know, must be a COVID thing, huh? But really, they're just looking for you to spend. Like, oh, I'm only going to buy what can fit into this little basket. I'm not going to like happen to just... do an impulse, hey, I need this new flat screen. That's not going to fit in my
I find myself in the scenario, which might even be more embarrassing, that you get the... Because I am a basket guy. I'd rather do that because more often than not, I get the cart and I will park it at the front of the aisle, like somewhere, and then walk down and get the stuff that I need from the aisle. Yeah. And it's like, so, like, because it's just like maneuvering all of this everywhere, you know, and I'm... I'm not the most organized shopper. Like, I'm like, oh, I need this. And I go back to like six of the places I've already been.
Rather than pushing the whole load.
Yeah. So I just find kind of a neutral spot. And I walk away from it realizing that that neutral spot most of the time is in everybody's way. But I also will find myself, I'll get the basket and then like not thinking I'm going to get many things. And then all of a sudden the basket's full. And then you're there carrying it, like teetering with two things in the bag. It's like, oh, I
get it. In the basket, you get one long thing or like French bread or something. Yeah. And it's like sticking out the side. You're just like, fuck. I broke the French bread last time. Broke it right in half.
It's like a Mr. Bean thing.
But I wanted to leave it. I was really high on my drive here this morning, and I wrote a little something I wanted to leave people with. Might be another new segment. I don't know.
Right, that's a bit incriminating.
Yeah. When he was running in with me, he was thinking.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, given that it's this time of the year and we're in New England, it's starting to feel really golfy. I walked outside without a jacket a couple times.
Mud season, baby.
Is it okay that I call it a jacket? Should I call it a coat or something? So I walk, you know, and I was just really feeling, yeah, I feel really good
about it. My jump song.
I wrote a little something to leave you all with today. It's not a song, but it's just a little tidbit.
Is it a haiku?
Not a haiku, but it might be poetic.
Did it involve high? Did it involve being high?
Just put yourself, close your eyes, everyone listening, unless you're driving, pull over. If you're driving, pull over and close your eyes, everybody.
Should we shut our eyes?
Yes, okay. And even though the first line tells you to open them, don't open them.
Keeping them closed, keeping them closed.
Close your eyes. You open your eyes, keep them closed. Okay. Keep them closed.
Okay.
You open your eyes. Another day, another dollar, you think to yourself before you hit the snooze button on your iPhone. Just before falling back into your previous dream, it hits you. You're playing golf for the first time in months today. Eyes wide open. Keep them closed. Eyes wide open. You stretch with a smile until your legs start to involuntarily shake. You let out a yelp. Did you pull a muscle or was it just a spasm? Will this affect your golf swing? It passes. You're not injured. You reach for your phone and check the weather. 56 and sunny. It's golf season. You say aloud, with the excitement so pure you can hear the smile in your voice. You open up the group chat and start typing. I'm going low today. To be continued.
Insane. I love that.
Open your eyes.
That was nice. I really enjoyed that. You know what I enjoyed too? Picturing you typing that as you drove.
That was like, who? You're like the...
Jim Nance,
50 Shades of Grey author, but for men.
Yeah,
more than more to come.
Because boy, did that get me rock hard.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know if I can play it up
right now. When he was like the legs quiver, they quivered all right. Yeah, they were shaking.
I got a hard leg quiver when I stretch in the morning.
Yeah. That's not where I thought you were going with that. Yeah. But
then, like if I do a hard stretch,
time with the ER
quivered right up to my bone. But I couldn't get. I stopped there because I was driving, and I didn't want to write too much. And I said I got to leave some because you know I do want to keep doing those.
Yeah, but I like that to be continued.
Thank you.
What a nightmare scenario driving with you would be.
I don't text and drive with people in the car.
He goes, then I
unless I'm texting.
He goes, guys, I paused my movie first.
But that's when I get my ideas, so I could. Yeah. I'll try to figure out the talk to text maybe, but it's also something where I couldn't just. Those things happen in my head to say them out loud. But I wrote it, you know, I'd rather.
You obviously pulled over to type it out.
Yeah.
And you started that, and you were like, okay, I'm going to tell them to close their eyes, and then I'm going to make the first line. Open your eyes.
I thought about the closing
of the eyes as we got here, and then as I started to read, I was like, oh, shit, the first line's open your eyes.
Okay.
Then I said.
That was my favorite part.
And yeah. Well, and then when you thought it was done, you told us to do it again. I love that.
And I also liked ending it on the to be continued, but then not giving instruction as to whether we open them or we keep them closed.
Keep them closed.
Yeah.
And I hope they're still closed.
No. Yeah. Open your eyes.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Just a little something to leave you with. And if you've been playing really nice all winter, disregard. Or just, you know, you're playing a nice course.
Today. Yeah, or imagine you haven't played all winter.
Yeah. Just put yourself in our shoes.
I'm inspired. I'm going to go to the range now.
You might have to play today.
Yeah.